attention is the number one asset.
If I could compel anybody or everybody here to take a real step back and understand this most important part. The people that amassed 10 million followers on TikTok 2 years ago, today would only amass 300,000. Attention on the internet is like the real estate business. The first movers get the best real estate. Even though every day people continue to not take full advantage of this, every day many others do, and the supply and demand of content versus the attention on the other side continues to shift. The single biggest way for anybody in this room to double the size of their business, no question, given the makeup of this industry, is through a significant content strategy on LinkedIn. Good afternoon. Very excited and humbled to be here. Really, really nice to be with you. So let's go into the two frameworks of what I'd like to talk about this afternoon. One is the marketing variable of 2023 and beyond in a B2B environment, in a service business. And two, the elephant in the room of where we are in managing people in a 2023 world around the framework of their opportunities and alternatives instead of working for us, working for themselves or finding other variables. For me, when I understand the makeup of this room, where I'm always passionate to go in a talk like this is operational practicality. You know, I grew up in a family business. Everything was very business oriented. And the reality is when it comes both to marketing and when it goes to people management, there's a lot of pontification, a lot of sizzle, a lot of fluff. And at the end of the day, not a lot of actual action around those two categories when, in my opinion, for a staggering amount of the people in this room, they are the two largest variables of where the business is going and what the opportunities slash vulnerabilities are within our businesses. So I currently run a service-based business. I have about 1,200 employees globally. We run a very large marketing agency. And what's been really fascinating about my transition in my career from building my dad's liquor store through marketing and operations and then being an early investor in Silicon Valley startups like Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr to then going into client service, both with VaynerMedia, which is Fortune 500 companies in the B2B and B2C space, but also a company called the Sasha Group, which is named after my dad, that really services businesses that are doing between $1 and $10 million in revenue, is the framework of where I want to go with my talk. So first and foremost, what's crazy in the excitement I have to deliver is the opportunity that is LinkedIn today for a lot of people in this room. So I'm sure this is gonna make sense for a lot of you because a lot of you have watched this navigation happen. LinkedIn, over the last 15 years, has gone from a place where it was all about just recruiting and HR and hiring to over the last 5 to 7 years, and really in the last 3 years, a very heavy content platform where people are consuming a lot more content on the platform. I would argue today that LinkedIn in 2022 is more similar to where Facebook was 7 or 8 years ago than what we all grew up with LinkedIn looking like 10 years ago. What I mean by that is there is not a single day that goes by that I don't get at least 3 to 5 messages on my LinkedIn or my email, that I don't get a message from a small business owner that has just landed their first sales opportunity or their biggest client through a single piece of content on LinkedIn, inspired by a piece of content I created on LinkedIn that made them actually make it. When I think about what could I bring in value to this talk today, no question the biggest impact, in my opinion, is around the concept of how do I get people in this room who have very little motivation to believe in organic content on LinkedIn as a business driver to understand how outrageous organic content on LinkedIn is a business driver. What's fascinating about B2B businesses, you know, so, you know, I'm 46 years old, so I think this will make sense to a lot of people in this room. So many of my friends and contemporaries, especially engineer-based friends, really ended up in the seats in this audience. If you're of this age, there was so much opportunity in the late 90s, early 2000s, beginning half of 2000s, to stumble into this industry, going from helping friends and family to starting your own shop. And so what's really obvious to me is that this industry at this scale is incredibly predicated on word of mouth, predicated on the luck of the draw on SEO, the occasional thoughtful B2C level execution on SEM and Google Ads, but is non-existent in the world that has developed in the last 5 years of a deep social media creative and media strategy to drive business results. What's most fun about what I just said, if you followed along at home, is the reality of how little friction there is for this to be a meaningful impact on the business, other than, and I'm incredibly empathetic to this, a deep lack of perspective of how real it is. So for so many, the thought of producing 1-2 pieces of content a day for LinkedIn is incredibly foreign. And what do I post? What will it lead to? Yet, for all of you that have kids that are deep into TikTok consumption, you're probably quite aware of how much consumption they're doing in a TikTok world. And the reason that's happening is TikTok is based on people's interest, not based on who people follow. So TikTok's big explosion in the last half decade has been completely predicated on the fact that they realized the social graph, AKA who you follow, is important and was a beacon of the last decade. But the interest graph, the stuff you're actually into of the moment, is a dramatically bigger platform. That was the thesis that led me to investing in Tumblr 15 years ago, and it had a nice exit to Yahoo, but they've expanded on it dramatically, and now all of the social networks, from Twitter to Meta's, Facebook and Instagram, to Snap, will very much chase this because it's just the reality of human behavior. Why do I bring this up to all of you? It's to give you courage, permission, or at least strategy to understand that you could go from being in this room right now and never posting once in your entire life on LinkedIn and using it as a platform to posting a piece of video, written word, audio about a how-to, about a did you know, a six-sentence paragraph on why privacy matters to your client, or 800 other variables that you want people to know, the same shit that you would tell them if you were in a sales call or if somebody referred them to you and you got on the phone with them, and that LinkedIn is also working on that same algorithm, and you can go from zero followers and no presence. You might not even have an account, or you might have an account that doesn't even have your profile picture in it right now, and your first piece of content has the potential to get actual, what I would call micro-virality, and begin the process of the hypothesis that I come to this conference with, which is, I've done, over the last 13 years of my speaking career, plenty of talks. I was talking backstage, I do a lot of consumer stuff. We're the agency for Pepsi and Budweiser and lots of brands you know, but the work we do with Chase or GE or all the other B2B entities that we work with is always dramatically more interesting to me, and a conference like this versus people that are at the forefront of social is more interesting to me because I know how big the opportunity is in the marketplace because of how few people are actually doing it. And the people that are doing it atrociously. The reality of the majority of LinkedIn content, and all of you know that, actually, by show of hands, raise your hand please, appease me. How many people here consume content on LinkedIn? Go into LinkedIn, they're active, raise your hand. All right, so this is way fucking better than I thought. So the far majority of this room understands, at least from a personal human being standpoint, that they're consuming information on LinkedIn, which then renders all of you to completely follow what I'm saying, which is 98% of it is garbage. And it's garbage because almost every single person that creates LinkedIn content comes from the perspective of sales DNA. They're posting something that is fundamentally 100,000% in their own vested best interest. They would like to post something that makes all the other people on the other side hire them. In reality, if you leave with anything from this conference, if you are doing this, actually, by show of hands, how many people here are producing at least a single piece of content a day to post organically in LinkedIn? Don't raise your hand if you're lying, because I'm gonna double check and call you out on LinkedIn. So raise your hand if you're doing that. 11, 12, all right. So what excites me about that is just how substantial the upside is. What also excites me is how many people raise their hand as consumers of, thus easily creating the connection point that I'm desperate to land here. One more time, LinkedIn, like every other social network forced by the obnoxious success of TikTok, has caused all of social media to change in the way that all of us grew up with it, if you grew up with it, professionally I mean, over the last 15 years. No longer is it overly required for you to spend years amassing followers like an email service to get the content that you make to actually be seen. LinkedIn, more than any other platform besides TikTok, overly, grossly, phenomenally rewards content that people actually want to see. Literally many in this room, if motivated by this, and I'm a realist, I know it's less than 5% of the people in this room are gonna actually go home and make anything, but of that 5%, 5% of that 5%'s first post, never having anyone consume anything from them, will get tens, if not hundreds of thousands of views or reads. That becomes your business development tool. That is no question, in my opinion, more than direct mail, more than spending more on Google AdWords. If you're not spending on Google AdWords, you start with a base, you should be in the game. The amount of people that buy booths at conferences to market to the same goddamn people they've seen for the last 30 years. Nobody here is confused. Everybody here knows how shitty and how bad marketing is in B2B client service businesses. LinkedIn came along and gave you something that doesn't charge you other than your time and your efforts and the cost you put into the content, an outrageous opportunity for virality. As if you went on CNBC and talked about your business, and yet every day, every hour, every minute, people are not taking advantage of it out of sheer philosophical ideology and talking about things on their point of view of LinkedIn content that they don't even understand, or sheer laziness, or sheer non-interest to invest a couple dollars back into their business. And all of those things I'm incredibly empathetic to. I don't come to DC to fire you up to grow your business. I genuinely don't care, right? I really don't. I mean, I do. I would love nothing more than, you know, actually one of the things that continues to drive me to do things like this is the email 18 months later saying, I can't believe you came to DC. I never thought of it. I never wanted to do it. I thought it was stupid. I did it, da-da-da-da-da-da. But the reality is, it's not my business. I can only do so much. On the flip side, it is literally an enormous opportunity. And so, when we get into Q&A, or if you wanna hit me up, if you want like details of what you should look at or what you should read, if I could compel anybody or everybody here to take a real step back and understand this most important part. The people that amassed 10 million followers on TikTok 2 years ago, today would only amass 300,000. The people that amassed 5 million followers on Twitter in 2010, 11, 12, today if they did the same exact behaviors, would only amass 1,000, 5,000. Attention on the internet, on platforms that have the attention, is like the real estate business. The first movers get the best real estate. Everything I'm talking about today, if you go and do this 3 years from now versus tomorrow, you will have disproportionately less returns, because even though every day people continue to not take full advantage of this, every day many others do, and the supply and demand of content versus the attention on the other side continues to shift. The single biggest way for anybody in this room to double the size of their business, no question, given the makeup of this industry, is through a significant content strategy on LinkedIn. How you make that content is a worthwhile conversation for a few minutes that we talk about. One, a lot of people just don't want to be on camera, and I respect that to no end. The way you decide your strategy on the content is completely predicated on self-awareness. Everybody in this room needs to really decide, are they good at writing? Are they willing to do video? Or are they gift of gab and they can record it? They don't want to be on video, but they can record the audio and they're willing to post audio. No question, video over-indexes everything. On the flip side, it's also the domain that most people are uncomfortable with because of people's insecurities around the way they look, the way they say, like, you know, just life. And I respect that. But if you're gonna go down this journey and you consider this real, I highly recommend that you go down video first. If you can't do that, audio second, written word third, and let there be no confusion. The written word is remarkably effective if that's your best domain of communication. It's just that video does over-index. That's the punchline. Now, a very important little tidbit of information that might really help a lot of people here get started, because it's getting started that is always the hardest part. Number one, just basic functionality of like, how do I put all that? That, you know, there's, I'm excited, what is that? I don't have that, no. All right, there's somebody on my mic over here. People struggle with producing content. And so one of the hacks that I've been able to figure out that has really worked for a lot of B2B businesses has been the concept of the following. The idea of starting a podcast where you interview former, and more importantly in my opinion, or equally as important, future clients. So, reading some of the people that were using the hashtag of this event and reading what they were talking about, let's just stick on privacy. If you decided to create a podcast called The Privacy Hour, where you talk about cybersecurity and things of that nature, you basically have a tremendous cultural hack going on right now in our world where people are so thirsty to be famous that they say yes to be on podcasts that have no listeners. So one thing that has been unbelievably dominant for a lot of people that have followed this blueprint that I'm speaking about is the concept of reaching out on LinkedIn as well to potential business owners that they want to do business with and asking them to be on their show to talk about their business. Regionalizing it or localizing it is also a very big deal. I spoke like this once in a real estate conference and the person followed it verbatim the way I laid it out, which was just do a show called the Charlotte Small Business Show and just interview all the small business owners in Charlotte once a week systematically. And I got that email 3 years later of like what that meant to her business. As you can imagine, that blueprint for so many people in this room is extremely effective, but here's the key. By doing the podcast and potentially recording it on Zoom or Google Hangouts or doing it in person with a camera, the thing that I'm most interested in is not necessarily making you the next Joe Rogan, it's that in that 30 or 45 minutes, how many clips you can cut to use as your LinkedIn posts for what you're needing to do to take advantage of what I just talked about. I'm very aware of how many people sat here when I said post once or twice or three times a day on LinkedIn every day, and people are like, motherfucker, I've posted once in my life. So what we have to produce is a strategy that actually allows us to get that level of content. For me, no question, the number one realistic, you might consider it if you're trying to be on the offense, way to do that is to start a podcast. In my opinion, based on this industry, preferably around small businesses in your general area, and interview those business owners. You don't even go in for the close. You're just having a small, some of you do this for a living, but you are the most charismatic person at a party. You do have that personality. You kind of wish you were a sportscaster or on TV. And so then for you, you don't have to go literal into privacy land. You can go into genre overall land of small business land, because what you're really doing is just biz devving relationships. As I'm sure this will make sense to everybody here, if you're trying to do business with a lot of local businesses within a 40-mile radius, you're gonna get a lot more people interested in talking to you if you're asking them to come on your show and talk about their journey of building a business than you're gonna get to do a sales call and get them to hire you. If you record that properly and fully understand how to chop up those pieces of content and use them as a day in and day out piece of content for your LinkedIn profile for you and your business, and you add to that video 3 to 4 to 7 sentences of context that maybe the video didn't fully hit on, that shows the world you know what you're talking about, and you come from the lens of that content not being a sales call, but being a source of information, you will be downright shocked on the actual impact on your business. Every day of my life, I get emails from people who followed it, who thought it was complete baloney. I'm incredibly empathetic to what may be going through business owners' minds in here around the value of social media for their business. Social media is incredibly hard to use as a business tool because most people don't understand what it is. Most people dismiss it because they have ideological points of view about it, so that immediately eliminates it, whether it's mad about what it does to the kids or the world or politics or this and that. And then for the small group that is able to stay unemotional and be a business person, it's incredibly difficult to understand how to use it. You have to be good at it. People every day in meetings like this or conferences like this raise their hand and say, Gary, I did LinkedIn, it didn't work. I say to them, what's the, and they say to me, well, what's the ROI of social? I ask them, well, what's the ROI of a basketball? And then they're confused. And then I say, what's the ROI of a basketball? And then they're confused. And then I say, the ROI of a basketball for LeBron James was billions of dollars. The ROI for basketball for me was negative 8,000. I've had 2 surgeries on my knees. I say to them, LinkedIn works. You just suck at it. So I come here this afternoon as a very practical dude that's been doing this a long time, and I beg, because I want the karma points, for everyone to deeply understand what I'm talking about is not fairy tale or fun. I could give a crap about LinkedIn or Facebook or Snapchat or TikTok. I just care about where customers' attention is. I built my daddy's liquor store with direct mail and local television and radio. But when the internet came along and I understood that I could buy Google AdWords for 5 cents, I did that. And when social media gets destroyed by VR or 3D or aliens come and take us somewhere else, I'll be ready. And so I highly recommend to all of you that you take your emotions and you check them at the door. If you're here to be a business person, I assume if you're at a conference on the first week after Labor Day, in the middle of the day sitting here, you have agenda and ambition and drive. I'm gonna take that assumption that you decided to be here and say that you want something good to happen to your career, your family, your business. I'm gonna ask you to remind yourself that the way you even got to the seat you're in today is that you put in the work. Often people are very passionate about putting in the work at their craft, but they don't want to put in the work on things that don't come easy or they don't understand. I'm incredibly aware that marketing is a very different skill set than a core craft that is sitting in this room. I also want to remind everybody that marketing is the biggest driver to business results in the world. That sales is amazing and I love being a salesman, but sales is just bad marketing. Marketing is the most important thing in the world. Thank you, Mom. I always plant my mom to start it going. I really think you can do it. I even think more coolly, for like 20 or 30 people here, it's gonna take them on a journey they could have never imagined. For all the fun emails I get about like, this was good and I doubled my business, the ones that always really get me in the stomach are the ones that say, I started doing it for this, but I liked the video content so much, I pivoted to this. And I was only doing this because it's how I made my money, but I didn't love it. Let there be no confusion. I'm wildly aware that there's a lot of people sitting in here today that don't love what they're doing. They do it because it's their best and most serious way of income. One of the great side effects of following the model I'm telling you is it may take you down a path you have no idea that could be taken. I'm very aware that many people here would rather subsidize how much money they make in their business right now and make the same amount by making content around golfing or hunting, or for me, the New York Jets, which pisses me off to no end. Let's connect afterwards. I'm really fucking pissed out here with us. Haven't won a game in September in 4 years. Anyway, I really, really believe in this. I know it's true. I see it every day. And I really implore all of you to take this talk extremely seriously and at least give it a significant at bat of just trying it or digging in a little bit more. I'm gonna spend the next several minutes on one other thing. How many people here have more than 5 employees? Raise your hand. Hi, please. Okay, good, then I'll go here. So I'm sure everybody's heard about the great resignation and all this other stuff. I just want everybody here to win in their business, and so I wanna give you a preview to something that scares me 10,000 times more for all of us that employ people. Because of what I do for a living, I get 10 to 20,000 direct messages a day on social media. I spend hours every day reading them. I never read 90% of them, that's impossible. But I have a tremendous pulse on where things are going, which has been the foundation of my success. Over the last 2-3 years, there's been a phenomenon that is not being talked about. We're talking about the Great Resignation, and I'm reading all the articles, we're talking about the boomeranging and all this, but I really wanna put this on the radar of a lot of people here because I think it could be valuable. As scary for some people as is the Great Resignation, I am dramatically way more concerned about the great never applying in the first place. We, in this room, are incredibly good at shitting on Gen Z and young millennials. It's one of our great talents. How many people here, over 40, raise your hand? One of the best things you do is that. Who's over 50, raise your hands? This crew is the most fun because you guys fucking created them. All my friends that have like 18 to 25 year olds, literally because I'm popular in that world because of TikTok, I have 15 million followers there, so all their kids are fans, and they're always talking to me, and they spend literally the entire business dinner shitting on their kids, and then I remind them, maybe you shouldn't have given them an 8th place trophy. Anyway, this incredible phenomenon of modern parenting that has led to incredible levels of anxiety because we use fear and over-coddling, and it comes from a great place. Parenting is hard. I get it, it's hard, but it is real. And we like to razz on them, right? But they're smarter than you think. The reason these 15 to 25 year olds don't wanna come and work for you for 62K or 40K is because they can make that much flipping shit on eBay. It's because they can make 100K in brand deals on TikTok like that. And I'm not talking about Charlie D'Amelio and Logan Paul. I'm talking the millions, let me say it slow, for Carl in the back. The millions of people that are making $50, $60, $70, $80, $120,000 a year in YouTube AdSense, in brand deals on TikTok, and on flipping stuff. And so they're not entitled and overspoiled. Of course some are. They're just awake to their alternatives. And many in here would be doing the same thing if we had these options, but we just had fucking Nintendo and a Walkman. We as business owners, especially with all the hands that just went up, with five and more, have to take a serious step back and understand how big of a deal this is. You think inflation and labor costs again, like, is a problem? I'm telling you right now, you have an entire generation, and I know this is predominantly US-based, but for all my international friends, this is happening even in places that are having recessions and economic crises. The fragmentation of opportunity because of the internet and the emerging blockchain, we haven't even, you know, we're not even going on the consumer blockchain. I don't want to overspend time on what NFTs are going to mean when they're real, not just the hype that was last year. The consumer blockchain is the biggest invention since the internet. The internet is now mature, and humans have uncomfortable levels of options. When I was doing winelibrary.com in 1996, everybody in the liquor business in New Jersey laughed at me and said, who's gonna buy wine on the internet when you can just go to the liquor store? And my answer was, everyone. When I tell you every 13-year-old in America and most places in the world today understand their options and have no interest in what you're offering, we must figure this out now, yesterday, and we need to be thoughtful about this. We need to value our employees more. That's not over, I'm not looking for eighth place trophies, I just mentioned that. I'm not saying over coddle. I'm saying, how many people here have under 20 employees? Raise your hand, under 20. For all of you, I have 1,200. I spend probably an hour and a half a day as the CEO speaking to individual employees for 15 and 10 and 5 minute pockets at a time. I have so many friends who own businesses that have 25 employees and they don't talk at all to 80% of their employees in any meaningful, real way as a human being. We must bring humanity to the workplace, not over coddling. We must bring humanity to the workplace. You're gonna really focus on retention this next decade, and just throwing money at the problem is not gonna be enough. So I ask for all the people that have that emotional intelligence to take a step back and lean into it. If you're not selling your business and retiring in the next 5 to 7 years, this subject we just touched on is about to become a major, major, major deal, and I highly recommend you give it some real thought.